Okay, welcome to the Senate Business and Transportation Committee. Today is February 20th, and we have two bills to take up today, House Bill 4010 and House Bill 4107. So while we wait for the speaker, we will start with House Bill 4010. We'll open a public hearing on that. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4010 comes to us from the House with a vote of 57-0. Has no fiscal, no revenue impact. The measure authorized the Oregon Employment Department to make public all decisions of the Employment Appeals Board. It applies retroactively to past decisions. The measure has an emergency clause that would take effect upon signature by the governor.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. I'm Susan Rossiter. I'm chair of the Employment Appeals Board. As you're probably aware, the Employment Appeals Board is a quasi-judicial body that's part of the Oregon Employment Department. And the three-person Employment Appeals Board reviews decisions made by administrative law judges in contested cases regarding unemployment insurance benefits. Now, in 2007, we began posting its decision on our decisions on a public website that was accessible, of course, to anyone who wanted to view the decisions. In July of 2013, the Employment Department stopped publishing these decisions to ensure compliance with the confidentiality requirements that are imposed by ORS 657555. And that statute has very strict confidentiality standards for information related to unemployment insurance. Although there's a number of exceptions to these requirements, our decisions, that is the decisions of the Employment Appeals Board, is not one of those exceptions. So we believe that access to our decisions is an important tool for employers, claimants, and their representatives and attorneys to understand their obligations and rights under the unemployment system and to assist them in participating in a meaningful way in unemployment hearings. And these individuals have relied on the guidance provided by our decisions. Since we stopped posting them, we've received a number of complaints from legal aid attorneys, from public employers, and from attorneys who represent claimants. So the purpose of this bill then is to amend ORS 657555 so that we can release our decisions to the public and they would be available as a public record. And we think this is an important bill in the interests of promoting government transparency as well as assisting claimants, employers, and their representatives in understanding the system.
Questions? Senator Girard.
In short, this is a transparency bill.
Chair Beyer, Senator Girard, that's correct.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody? I have nobody else signed up. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 4010? Okay with this one? We will close the public hearing and open a work session on House Bill 4010.
Senator Mr. Starr? Chair, I move the House Bill 4010 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 4010 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion? None? Is there any opposition to the motion? There is none. House Bill 4010 passes to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
As someone wants, seems pretty controversial. I'll carry it.
You want to take the hard one,
huh? It's a simple bill.
Senator Thompson will carry. We'll close the work session on 4010 and we'll open a work session, public hearing on House Bill 4107A. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4107A comes to us through the House floor vote of 52-6. The measure has, we have provided in your packet the fiscal and revenue impact statements for the measure. It extends eligibility for the alternative fuel vehicle revolving fund that was created by this committee last session to certain public entities that operate motor vehicle fleets. I can go into more detail, but since the sponsor of the bill is here, I will do that. I will mention we have received about 45 minutes ago or 50 minutes ago two amendments, the -A2 amendment and the -A3 amendment. These two amendments make separate but different changes to the definition of private entity in Section 1, Sub 2.
Can you talk to that?
I'd be happy to. The -A2s simply delete Change the definition to a private entity means a private business or company, period. It really removes all the sub-definitions of that. The dash A3s retain the definition that it refers to a private business or company that operates a fleet of motor vehicles that are based in an area described in ORS 468A390 or 815300 sub 2.
Okay. Madam Speaker, welcome.
Mr. Chair, good to see you. Colleagues, always a pleasure to be on the Senate side. For the record, Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44, North and Northeast Portland, and Speaker of the House. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on House Bill 4107A. So the good Senator Starr, Mr. Vice Chair, had a bill last year, and I think others of you worked on it, Senate Bill 583, to create this revolving loan fund to help our public entities, primarily public safety fleets, to have some resources that they could tap into to upgrade their fleets to cleaner burning engines, propane, compressed natural gas, you know, try to cut costs but also, you know, help facilitate that transportation sector, create some jobs, also, you know, keep the air cleaner. All really good things. Really appreciate the bill passed. Well, when we set up that bill, we allowed the Department of Energy to sell credits up to a $3 million cap to provide the money for the loan fund. In looking at some issues in my district, this fund came to my attention when we were trying to think of ways to incentivize private entities to also do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we have obviously limited resources, and so we looked at this fund after doing a lot of research, that what if we expanded access to this fund for private entities? Now, the challenge there is it has a cap of $3 million in credits that could be sold to fund the to allow for the loan funds. Mm-hmm. And at this point, the department had only been able to sell $1 million in credits to capitalize the fund. And actually, the fund hasn't even gone into effect yet either. So we don't even have any good data. So it's always a little tenuous to go and try to make changes on a program that hasn't even come into effect, and we don't want to disadvantage the public entities that we're trying to serve. So how do we do that? So what you have is a bill that says, let's expand it to private entities to provide another tool out there for companies to upgrade their fleets. But how do you limit that to make sure you're not oversubscribing the fund? So that's why you see the criteria around the private entity in the bill that came over from the House around targeting the areas with the highest need in terms of air quality. And instead of connecting it to the EPA standards, we were advised by legislative counsel to refer to those areas that are subject to the state vehicle inspection program, which is currently Portland and Medford. There are certainly other parts of the state that under EPA rules would have access to some federal funds, but we again narrow the scope of this because it's not a lot of money in the fund. So that's why you see what would be restricting it to Portland Medford based on the statute that's referenced. The other issue is how many companies could access this. That's where you see the limitation on independent contractor fleets would not be eligible for this fund as well. Certainly, once we have the data based on what the public entities are doing and seeing how this limited amount of access by private entities is working, we could certainly have a larger conversation. But the goal is to provide another tool out there now to get certain companies in certain areas to upgrade their fleets with existing funds. And we also give, we expanded the time for the department to sell the credits so we could get up to that $3 million, that cap. So that's an important piece of this bill. So I would hope that we keep that in mind as we try to move this. I just saw the A2s and A3s that were released 45 minutes ago. I will say those topics were not necessarily specifically raised in an amendment on the House side. But I would have trouble with them because I think you're opening up a very small fund in a way that I don't think is helpful right now. And so that's, we wrote the bill narrowly around independent contractors and location for a reason, and I hope you would not change that because I think that would undermine what we're trying to do in terms of keeping it limited. And I urge your eye support. Thank you for the time. I'm happy to answer any questions.
So, Representative, to the limiting it for private companies, I have not gone through the bill, so I'm a little naive about it. I know what we were trying to do last time. Does this in any way limit public agencies anywhere in the state?
It does not.
So the limitation applies only to private fleets?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. It's a definition of the private entity and limiting that, so we're not opening it up too broadly.
And so how long did you extend the cap for the $3 million?
The cap, I think, was extended another year through the biennium, I believe.
2 years, 2015 to 2017.
Yes.
2015 to 2017.
Right, so that's why there's no revenue. I mean, we've already approved the cap, so this isn't, we're not looking at a, that's why it hasn't gone through Ways and Means.
None of it's been spent yet.
They've been able to sell enough to raise $1 million, but the actual program goes online end of March.
Okay.
So we haven't.
My memory is it's a first come, first serve, right?
Correct.
Yes, it is. Because we have a, I mean, Senator Starr, you may remember, would this apply to the Oregon State Police?
I believe that Oregon State Police, as a public entity defined, would apply.
And I've been trying to convince the governor's office that they ought to convert the state police fleet to.
Yes.
Okay. Members, Senator Girard?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I've read through the bill. 99% of the bill I really like, but the Medford-Portland exclusion I don't care for. My district doesn't have Portland or Medford in it. Would you be opposed if we amended it so that it's on a first-come, first-serve statewide? And I don't understand why that wouldn't be good policy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Girard, I would have a lot of problem with that because, again, if we sell all the credits, we're only talking about a $3 million revolving loan fund. That could go quickly with the priority group that we've already talked about, which is the public entities. And if you open up to private entities that are a lot quicker around the state, the reality is we have to prioritize our dollars. And if the air quality is more of an issue in certain parts of the state, I would argue we start there first.
Other questions? Senator Thompson.
I mean, we have, Speaker Pro Tem, we haven't even started the program. That's the only thing I kind of wonder. And if it was kind of designed to help our sheriff's department, state police, state fleets, county fleets, what if this takes, I mean, what will help slow this down is the price of propane is about $5 a gallon now due to the cold weather in the Midwest and back east. And I expect those prices to come back down to where this makes sense again. But I'm just a little cautious of what if this takes off and there's our sheriff's department apply for this and there's no money left. That would be my only concern. Because we have no, could we set up some kind of a cap that public agencies could get guaranteed so much and private, but not much time to look something like that out in this short period of time period. But. Were those issues raised on the outside?
Mr. Chair, Senator Thompson, I don't believe so, although that's a good question for the agency about how they expect, what kind of interest they've seen so far in terms of being ready to tee up applications. Mm-hmm. What's really good, and I think, again, the Senator did a great job, the loan fund, you know, the goal would be, you know, it'd keep replenishing. I don't know how quickly that will work. I think the good thing is we're back next year, so if we're seeing a problem, we can make some adjustments and say, you know, the private anything's not working. We have to preference public agencies. But again, I think the more we can do to incentivize certain types of companies is it's worth trying. But I think that's a question for the department. That's more the detail of the program itself.
One of the points, Senator, that I would remind us as we're thinking about this. The tax credits establish the fund, but the fund is a loan.
Yes.
So that you would get a revolve off of it over time.
I mean, that's the whole idea, Mr. Chair, is that, that ultimately the fund gets replenished. And that's why we call it a revolving loan fund, so that once the dollars come back in, we have the opportunity to, do more fleets or more vehicles, whatnot.
Yeah. A conversion, a passenger vehicle conversions in the neighborhood of $4,000 to $6,000. Yeah. Senator Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't anticipate that we're going to have the problems that you've wondered about. If we did, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, that means people are using it. So, and if there is that much interest, then I think we'll be back.
If we come back and we'll set it up again next time.
And maybe expand the program. So, I don't know. I mean, I think this is a reasonable way to proceed. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think that's probably going to.
Okay. My goal, and it was Senator Starr's bill, but my goal when we did it was to jumpstart
the conversion process, and not necessarily for cleaner, but that's a good idea, you know, to do that. But it's you got to build a mass somewhere so that you can get the distribution of the filling stations and all of that down. So it's kind of a cart and horse kind of thing.
Okay.
Further discussion, Senator Monroe.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Yeah.
With respect to the issue raised by my colleague, Senator Girard, whether it should be for Portland and Medford, where DEQ is already testing, or open for the entire state, I think I heard your testimony to say that you'd like to try it just Portland-Medford first, get it started, see how that works, and then in the future, we might want to expand it to statewide. Is that accurate?
Mr. Chair and Senator Monroe, I'm certainly open to that. I think it's just a matter of how do you put some sideboard so we don't blow out the whole fund in the first year. And so that was the attempt to prioritize it.
Thank you.
Other questions to the speaker? Guess not. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, colleagues. Good to see you. Appreciate the time.
Maureen Bach? Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Maureen Bach. I'm the Enfinis Program Manager for the Department of Energy, and I wanted to note that the department was supportive of this bill. We have not had a chance to really analyze the DASH Amendments 8, 2, and 3 that are being discussed here today. So my testimony that is being handed out now really focuses on 4107A as it passed through the House. So I'll just summarize the comments a little bit. As you know, we were authorized through Senate Bill 583 to sell up to $3 million of the $20 million in credits that is authorized for transportation projects in the state. Through the sale that was conducted in November 2013, we were actually able to sell almost $1 million. We did rulemaking last year and actually have deployed the program. The first loans will not be made until after March 2014 because we're trying to aggregate those loans right now to see what the demand is for the funding. So we worked with stakeholders to do the rulemaking and actually worked with the cities and the counties and the tribes to prioritize how much any one entity could take out of the fund at any given time. So eligible borrowers through the rulemaking process are actually able to borrow up to the incremental cost for purchase of new vehicles or the cost of converting existing vehicles to dual fuels. So this bill, as it passed through the House, makes that fund available to private entities that operate fleets in those areas that the speaker addressed. It also allows us to charge a loan origination fee, which we thought was an important feature, because sometimes people apply for loans, then they decide not to borrow for whatever reason, and rather than incorporating that cost of doing business into the interest rate, it allows us to recoup those costs at the front end, but it also limits what we can charge for that. And then another important thing this bill does is it extends the time that we have to sell that up to $3 million out of our transportation cap to fund this program. So with that, I'll take any questions if I can answer them.
Maureen, looking at your testimony, one of the things I wonder about, your statement says that if loan receipts or requests exceed funds, the department will use a prioritization process to allocate funding based on criteria developed during the rulemaking process. Now, our prior discussion, our assumption, I'm not sure we were clear, would be it was a first come, first serve. So can you talk about the prioritization process and what criteria?
What we did in our rulemaking process, because there was concern about one or two large entities taking the entire fund, was that we would limit what any one fund could do, what any one entity could take. So that's really the prioritization. So I think, if I recall, and we can get you copies of the rules, of course, is it limits to 30% of the available funds to any one entity. So, for example, if Polk County decided that they wanted to borrow funds and Portland did, we would allocate up to 30% to any one of those entities and prioritize that way. These are relatively small funds, and they are loans, and they're limited to up to 6 years in payback.
Is there a limit on the size you choose of the loan? Could it cover the full cost, or are you limiting to...
Senator Beyer, members of the committee, people are limited to what they can borrow. It's the incremental cost of a new vehicle. So if a gas or diesel vehicle costs $30,000 and a dual-fuel vehicle costs $35,000, they could borrow on that the $5,000 difference.
So how does that apply if they're converting an existing fleet?
What we put in the loan application is we get information on the existing vehicle and then what the conversion cost is, and it has to match what we have allocated towards that cost. So converting an existing fleet, say you have a pickup truck that you want to convert to.
So do me an example of if you were talking about a police car, what were we talking about there? Then my understanding is the cost is of conversion is somewhere between $4,000 and $6,000. So how much could they get as a loan to do that?
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, they could actually borrow for that entire amount.
The entire amount?
For conversions, yes.
For conversions.
Right.
But it would be on a new vehicle purchase. It would just be the delta then?
Right.
And so the limitation is 30% of the available funds?
Chair Beyer, that is correct.
Okay. And what kind of loan percentage interest are you looking at? And how about talk about the origination fee?
The Chair Beyer, members of the committee, the loan origination fee in this bill is capped at, I believe, 1% of the loan amount, but no more than
$2,500.
So it's limited. It's a lesser of.
1% of loan, or you said a number?
$2,500. It's the lesser of those two numbers. Interest rates, I'm not the loan manager, so... I don't have a number, but I can certainly get you one.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on this program?
Mr. Chair, if I may. Just for clarification on that last point, the bill specifies payment may be for up to 0.1% of the amount of the loan or $2,500. It's not 1%, but 0.1%.
For a loan fee?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Nobody else? We'll close the public hearing and we'll open a work session and see where this goes. Senator Starr? Senator Girard?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Edwards?
What's the bill number?
I want to move the bill, but I want to give my colleagues a chance if they want to move the amendment.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll move the dash two amendments.
Go ahead.
I'll move the dash two amendments.
Dash three amendments.
Dash Senator, two.
Dash two. Again, the dash twos do what?
The dash two opens up the... area so that the whole state could benefit from this program, not just Portland and Medford. Okay. My rationale, colleagues, I represent a district that the average salary in Mill City is 60% of what's in Portland. And to give an advantage to Portland when they're doing so well and not to the rest of the state just totally goes against my grain. I love the speaker. I want to vote yes. I just can't do it. I just, not without this amendment.
Okay. Others? Let me get it on record here. Senator Girard has moved the dash two amendments to...
A2, Mr. Chair. Excuse me. We're dotting our
A2 eyes. Amendments to House Bill 4107A. Discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
So I support the concept that... I mean, I understand where Senator Girard's coming from, and I'll support the motion that he has, but I, in the event that amendment doesn't have their constitutionally required number of votes, I will support the bill as it's been sent to us.
Anybody else? Well, Senator, I will not support the motion, and I understand that because I represent an area very much like the Senator Gerard says, a little more urban area to it. And my rationale is that it's very limited funds. I look upon this as a pilot at this point. And if we're going to expand it, I think there are some reasons to test it with, see if there's a private market out there that's most likely to be in one of the areas that has an air containment problem. And that does kind of represent a rural, although I guess you would argue that Medford may not be rural, but certainly the surrounding areas around it, which are in the same containment area, are rural. That's probably a fair test. I also think that in terms of the conversion, it's less likely to get it there. Although, having said that, Senator, both of us represent a portion of Linn County where the sheriff is in the It's Benton County that's converting their fleet right now to propane. So I would like to do more than that. I would hope we have some success in convincing the governor that maybe a good example, since he's so hot on the clean fuels, would be to convert state vehicles. This would be a good source of that. So I will not be supporting the A2s. Anybody else wish to talk? Senator Monroe.
I was impressed by the fact that by rule, no jurisdiction can tap more than 30% of the funds. What that does is it prevents a huge jurisdiction like Portland from eating it all up and allows for the opportunity for more rural areas of the state to access this fund.
More rural areas can't access the fund. It's only to Portland and Medford.
No, well, actually, that's not true. The small cities and their fleets could.
Oh, the public sector.
The public
sector.
That's
right. Just primarily what it's used for.
Actually, you have the major mechanical training facility for this in your district, in Lebanon. All right, we'll call roll on that.
Senator Edwards.
No.
Senator Gerard.
Yep.
Senator Monroe.
No.
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Starr.
Aye.
And Chair Beyer.
No. The motion fails. Do you want to try another one?
No.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
I move the bill to the Senate floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved House Bill 4107A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion on that motion.
I think that this is an amendment to the bill that we passed last year that makes sense. I'm supportive of it. I think broadening it a little bit, making, you know, as it relates to how much money is available for the fleets out there. I'm a little where Senator Thompson is on, you know, we're changing a pilot that hasn't even kicked off yet, so we really don't know, you know, how it's going to turn out. So I kind of get that, but overall I think it's a good idea, and I'm absolutely convinced that by moving away from, you know, diesel and gasoline toward these other fuels, good thing for everybody for a variety of reasons. We have so much of that fuel available in North America. If we can wean ourselves off of fuels that we have to import, you know, I'm supportive of that. You know, I think it's good for the environment overall. I think in the long run, it's going to save public agencies money. I think that's good. I think if it saves private sector folks money too, how is that bad? So, you know, overall, I'm supportive of it. And I, you know, clearly hear my colleagues that represent more rural parts of our state, but as it relates to kicking this thing as a pilot, let's do it this way, and if we have success, we can grow it to a statewide footprint in future legislative sessions.
Well, I would join in those comments. I look upon this as a pilot effort. I really hope it's really successful, and I hope a lot of smaller rural counties take a look at it. It'll save them some money. Realistically, it probably doesn't make sense most to the east side of the mountains very much. just because of the lack of natural gas. You could do it with propane, but propane has its own issues right now. It has more of an application to natural compressed natural gas, but it'll be interesting to see that. I know that in the rural areas, I know in Rogue Valley, for example, their refuge haulers down there are converting to this. You need a core. You need a core of it in order to get one of the gas companies to put the facilities in to do it. And so we're at the start of seeing how do we incent that change and make it happen. Whether it's propane or natural gas, we got to get that piece going. In the future, Senator Gerard, I, like you, would be very interested in seeing this thing expanded broader, but I think we're in a pilot stage, and so that's where we're at. Senator Thompson.
I just love to have the opportunity to join the Speaker in a clean fuels bill.
We have other opportunities we could give you on that. Let's call, before I shut up, does anybody else want to say anything? Let's call the roll.
Senator Edwards.
Yes.
Senator Gerard.
No.
Senator Monroe.
Aye.
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Starr.
Aye.
Chair Beyer.
Aye. House Bill 4107A is passed to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Starr, would you like to carry this? Since it's the original bill, Senator Starr will carry. We'll close work session on that, and we are at the end of the agenda. Does anybody else have anything else? We are adjourned. Does anybody else have anything else?